The Last Word on Sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia. Think of the possibilities.
Gavin Cooney from the42.ie has joined us. And as a way of talking about last night's victory for the Irish team over Bulgaria, so it's what happened elsewhere that's interesting me. We now know who we've got in our World Cup qualifying group, which takes place over just 3 months, September, October, November. We knew we had Hungary and Armenia, but instead of Denmark, we got Portugal. Gavin, how big a blow do you think is that to our prospects of getting through to the World Cup?
It's a big blow in the sense that Ireland are less likely to you know, nick a draw against Portugal than they might against Denmark. But there is a kind of positive slant you can put on it that, you know, Portugal might be more likely to beat everyone else in the group. You know, if top spot will qualify automatically in second place in this four-team group, will get a playoff. So if you're being ultra positive, as we like to be after, you know, historic two-win week for Ireland, Portugal could take points off everyone else and then leave us scrapping with Hungary and Armenia for second spot.
And could it be we might get one result, like a draw against Portugal, that we're capable of that? We have given them good games in the past, haven't we, in recent years?
Well, we've
taken a few thumpings as well.
The Ronaldo header game, remember that one?
That was very close, the one in Faro under Stephen Kenny for World Cup qualifying in 2022.
And Gavin Bazunu had a great game and goal that day, didn't
saved the penalty from Ronaldo. And then we did draw with them in Dublin later that year. Now Portugal kind of picked a scratch team or rested a number of players, so they've still got, you know, they're still dragging Ronaldo around the place, you know, so maybe
he thinks he's dragging them around the place. So doesn't he?
Right, 1,000 goals to get to. He needs to have as much time as he can.
Missed a penalty last night, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's, the weight goes on towards that 1,000, but I'm sure he'll pick up enough of them in Saudi Arabia to get to that number anyway.
What age is he now?
40.
And is he contributing to that Portuguese team, or is he a passenger? I mean, when we play Portugal, we'll be playing 10 men plus Ronaldo.
He did score last night. He did miss a penalty as well. He played 90 minutes. I remember watching him at the Euros. I was at the game against France in which they were eliminated. He played the whole game. He played more minutes than any other outfield player for Portugal. It's crazy. You know, he's
exceptionally fit.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do a lot of running around.
He's exceptionally 40, you know? I mean, it's like he's not doing a whole lot of running. And look, he's still unbelievably effective in the penalty area. And we see, you know, you don't have to be a world-leading superstar to be effective in Ireland's penalty area. You know, they concede goals a little bit too flimsily. So, look, Portugal, a massive threat, a bigger challenge than Denmark. But the hope is, obviously, that they pull away at the top and leave everyone else a more even fight for a spot.
How seriously should we regard Turkey, Hungary, given that they lost heavily to Turkey last night?
Yeah, I think the feeling is they're not as good as they were when they went to the Euros a few seasons ago and when they were flirting around with League A at the time. I think they've definitely regressed a little bit. They've certainly not regressed as much as Bulgaria have. That was the biggest surprise, I think, over these two legs, were how bad Bulgaria really were. I remember, I don't know if you were at the game during COVID, where Ireland didn't have the strongest team out of Italy, but Bulgaria looked okay and were maybe transitioning towards a newer team. They were appalling over the two legs.
They weren't great, but Ireland have been losing games to bad teams the last few years. So it's the first time Ireland have won back consecutive competitive matches since 2019. You know? So it's the first time we've beaten won consecutive matches against teams inside FIFA's top 100 since 2011.
And we came from behind on both occasions as well. But you described me watching the first half last night after we conceded the goal, that we should never have been in that position. That if we'd pushed on in the second half in the away leg, that we could have won the game by a lot more.
Yeah.
And would have had no worries last night.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, Hal Grimson said after the first leg that he was disappointed by how passive Ireland were in the second half, as in they stopped attacking and just shut up shop. And he rolled back those comments a little bit the morning after, saying he was proud of how they limited Bulgaria. And now the pitch was really bad away from home. They had a couple of counter opportunities with Rocco Vatta and Evan Ferguson, and they just kept slipping on the poor pitch and their final pass was off. And they were actually very effective on the counter attack last night. But, you know, like, again, you know, this sounds kind of, you know, a bit dispiriting, but any win on the road for Ireland against anyone half decent is not to be sniffed at.
Any win at home,
any win at home. And, you know, Ireland completely dominated the first half hour last night, again managed to concede with Bulgaria's first attack, exactly as happened in the first leg. But, you know, Hal Grimson has also talked about the confidence issues in the squad, that the fact that they bounce back is encouraging.
So just clarification, was Daro O'Shea dropped or did he have an injury?
Really. I mean, the line from the Irish camp was that he was unlucky, that they really just wanted to see how Jake O'Brien got on.
But surely from the last night, Nathan Collins made more mistakes.
He sure did. Maybe it's harder to drop your captain. But like, obviously Collins took crazy risks on the ball in the first half in away to Bulgaria, you know, playing that pass in his own penalty area straight to an opponent. And Halgrimsson had a strong word at half time to cut it out, generously attributed to the poor pitch. But
is Collins good enough to play with one of the really big teams in England and then be improved by being forced maybe to concentrate a little bit more? I mean, could you see Collins been good enough to play for somebody like Liverpool?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, it was interesting. Ian Graham is a guy, he's kind of the director of research. He was the stats guy at Liverpool back in the day under the glory years under Jurgen Klopp. And I asked him once about Nathan Collins and they said he's a really good team. He's a really good player, like data-wise and how they assess players for a team that sits deep. You know, so Liverpool would have seen him as a, yeah, we need to push up and we need to leave lots of space in behind, and he's not quite the right player for that type of game.
Not fast enough, is it?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he didn't explicitly say that, but maybe it's positional awareness, or he didn't fully explain it, but perhaps it's down to pace. So
I'm not sure he's a good passer to be able to play in that system either.
He's a decent passer. I think he's a good passer. It's just concentration.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit of overconfidence, actually. You know, it's you know, maybe he would thrive at a higher level where he's, you know, just takes takes out the crazy risks that he took in the first leg. Because, you know, when the pass comes off, it's great. There was some great long-range raking passes in the second half of that first leg, but he left Ireland open. And, like, you know, he's a very young captain for Ireland. You know, there are more experienced players in that squad. It's a big burden.
See, well, it strikes me that we are starting to bring true forwards who can score goals, and Evan Ferguson did it last night. But midfield, there's just nothing coming through in midfield, is there?
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, this attacking system could work quite well when some of the players are back, but you're having to almost imagine how it's going to look if Sammy Smodix is there and he was playing behind a striker, saying if Benny was fit and he was over on the right-hand side, and you think the Finazaz could be a creator on the other flank as well, then it starts to look a little bit interesting. But then you look at the two players.
Does Finazaz need to play more centrally?
He wants to play more centrally, definitely. But I think if you have Smodics, do you put Smodics on the left or do you put his Azaz over that side? I'm not sure.
Not sure Smodics is getting back in.
Well,
based off that, he will struggle, I think. But yeah, the midfield too
is a problem.
Cullen and Knight, they lack physicality, they lack athleticism, they lack really good quality on the ball, and that's been our weakest area of the team for years.
Does that mean Nathan Collins has to go back in like we did in Wembley? Because if you have centre-halves available, like O'Brien from Everton, okay, you could say Darragh O'Shea is going to face yet another relegation, that he seems to be bought by teams that end up getting relegated from the Premier League. But he's a decent defender. If you play O'Brien and O'Shea together, can you move Collins into midfield to give your physical presence?
Maybe. Like, I thought it was Nous that they were missing more so than anything. There were a few nice passes from Cullen in the first game in Bulgaria, but last night the one that stood out for me was Knight tried to play a ball around the corner that was never on at one point, and there was a massive gas ball around the stadium. It was like, we can see from up here that pass was never on. I think we need a more creative influence in an 8 or 6 role, really.
When they press in the second half, the Bulgarian team kind of almost like allowed Ireland to have it, and then as soon as the ball went into Knight or Cullen, they were on them like a flash, and they knocked them off the ball. They turned the ball over in dangerous areas. So for that, it's not necessarily physicality. You need better awareness and better quality on the ball. And I think it would be a major risk putting a defender in that position. Collins talked last week about the differences between playing in midfield and playing at centre back, and he says in midfield the game just feels a lot faster. It's all around you, whereas when you're a centre back, you can at least
then you won't lose
thing.
Concentration.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, you're pushing this line, Matt, and it's going to work out. You almost need to play with wing mirrors in there, you know. So I think when we go away to Portugal, I think Collins will start in midfield in a similar role than
it's
the England one.
It's just because Portugal just has so many good midfielders.
I remember so bad. Remember that game we played just before the tournament last summer where they just played us off the pitch entirely?
3-0, but they barely broke a sweat.
We were just absolutely played through our midfield continually. That's a big concern.
John O'Shea was saying that'll be different because this time we won't have lads coming back from weddings and holidays and stuff, you know? I mean, it does make a difference that the game will be in October and November time rather than in the summer when Ireland...
Yeah.
Motivation is low, and also we've so many players in the championship that, you know, they're out of match fitness. Like, they're really rusty going into those games.
Our first game is the 6th of September. Historically, we always did well in September, not so well in October. This is going back many years, even before you were born, Will. But at least if it's the 6th of September, there'll be about 6 games into the championship at that stage, won't they?
This is, you know, optimism and hope is stirring already. Like, I mean, Ireland need to target that home game against Hungary.
They have to beat Hungary at home.
I think they do.
The whole World Cup campaign depends on that.
I think they do. And the fact that there's that big lead into that game and there'll be a great atmosphere because famous last words, regardless of what happens from here with the summer games against Luxembourg and Senegal, I don't think belief in the team or among the team can be stamped. You know, I think they've built something now from which they can kick on.
What's the word on Evan Ferguson? I mean, hopefully that'll give his confidence a big boost to get that goal last night. But what's his future at club level going to be? Is he going to be going back to Brighton?
Yeah.
Or will he be playing elsewhere next season?
It looks unclear at the moment, doesn't it? Because West Ham made a big song and dance when they signed him on loan, and obviously his old manager, Graham Potter, is there. And they haven't started him yet. You know, he's struggling for minutes. I came on in garbage time against Everton just before the international break. So we know he has quality there. He's had a very difficult year. Like, he's not getting in the Brighton team. There's so much competition there. Let's see if this does his, gives him a confidence boost and gives him a few weeks in the West Ham team to prove himself worthy of a permanent move there. But maybe there'll be a move elsewhere. But he just needs to play regularly. Look at Troy Parrott. I mean, once these guys play regularly, they're transformed.
A listener says Declan Rice and Conor Gallagher would have had enough physicality for that Ireland midfield.
Oh,
we've got to let it go.
Grealish wouldn't have been bad either.
All right. Gavin Cooney, thank you very much for being with us from the 42.ie.
The last word on sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia. Think of the possibilities.